This is gonna suck. I hate
the Rocky Horror Glee Show. Hello and welcome to another episode of This Is Gonna Suck, the podcast that exists because not all homages are good ones. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis, and as I said today, we're looking at an episode of the show Glee. Now, I'll admit, when the show first premiered, I thought it was an interesting-sounding concept. The fact that it focused on kids in a glee club, that meant there was going to be musical numbers in the show. Well, that's pretty cool. We haven't had any type of musical hour-long program on TV in a while. But then I watched a couple episodes. And my reaction was pretty much, oh, most of what they're singing is top 40 crap that I don't enjoy or care about. Interests killed. My opinion stayed that way for quite a while, and I heard in the second season they were going to be doing an episode-long homage to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am a big fan of all things Rocky Horror. I love the movie, I love the stage version, I've been part of a shadow cast for a little over 18 years now that performs along with the movie, and I've played the narrator in both production at Yorkville Theater a couple years ago, and I'm currently in rehearsals for production at the Gettysburg Community Theater, once again playing the narrator. And anytime something else pays tribute to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, whether it be a character simply mentioning the existence of the movie and going to see it, or doing some variation on lines of dialogue from the movie, and I pick up on it, it makes me very happy. So I thought, oh, an episode-long tribute to the movie. This should be good. Oh, how wrong I was. There are no words for the amount of displeasure I felt after watching that episode. And I wasn't alone. From what I could see on Facebook and Twitter, most of my friends who were also big into the Rocky Horror community shared my thoughts and said that this was awful. And so here we are, however many years later, and decided that to commemorate my foray back into the atmosphere of the live stage production, the Rocky Horror Show, at Gettysburg Community Theater, I would rewatch the Rocky Horror Glee Show and tear it apart on this podcast. It was very, very difficult to get through because, well, let's just get into it. So the episode itself begins with a black background and a pair of bright red lips emerging. The lips begin to sing science fiction double feature, much like happens in the beginning of the movie. This is awesome! Good start! And then the song ends after about 80 seconds, not even completing the chorus once. My enthusiasm is noticeably decreasing now. Dissolve to the middle of a dress rehearsal for production of the Rocky Horror Show in the auditorium of William McKinley High School. Finn Hudson and Rachel Berry, playing Brad and Janet respectively, are rehearsing over at the Frankenstein Place. Right before they manage to get through the first chorus, John freaking Stamos, or more accurately, his character, Dr. Carl Howell, strides onto the stage, stopping everything, and he confronts the director, Will Schuster, about trying to steal his girlfriend. We get a freeze frame of Will's panicked face, and he asks in voiceover, "How did a production of Rocky Horror turn into my horror?" Apparently it all started a week ago, and the episode now goes into flashback mode. We cut to the faculty lounge, where Will sits with Emma Pillsbury, the school guidance counselor that he has an unrequited crush on. Will notices that the crusts are still on Emma's sandwich, which he finds strange because she usually cuts them off. Emma says she must have forgotten to do that that morning, but Will still dwells on it. Emma tells Will that she and Carl went to a midnight showing of Rocky Horror at the Revival Theater over the weekend. Will is surprised, referring to Rocky Horror as that thing where everybody dresses up and yells stuff. We get a brief montage of the audience at the movie throwing props around and having a great time as Emma and Carl kiss. Will brings up the fact that he thought the Revival Theater was a dive, and Emma confirms that it was a really disgusting venue, but surprisingly, she didn't have any issues being there, even though one would think it would be a nightmare for her because of her mysophobia, which is an obsessive fear of germs and contamination. but Emma says she felt fine the entire time. Emma goes on to say that although she's usually anti-Halloween, she and Carl will be dressing up like characters from the movie this year and will go out trick-or-treating. In voiceover, Will enviously notices that Carl is helping to make Emma feel better and wonders why he didn't think of taking her to see the movie. Will speaks up saying that he decided just last weekend that he's going to have the Glee Club do Rocky Horror for the school musical this year, and isn't it funny how the movie means so much to both of them? You're full of shit, Schuster. Emma says it sounds like an interesting idea, but won't it be an issue because of a lot of the risque material in the show? Will says he'll probably need to make a few edits, but he just really wanted to expose the kids to one of his favorite movies. The conversation begins to sputter out and become awkward, and Emma excuses herself, wishing him luck, especially considering that Will will first need the approval of the principal and Sue Sylvester, the cheerleading coach and reluctant occasional co-director of the Glee Club. She resents the existence of the Glee Club because they are in direct competition for already tight funding from the school, and would like nothing more to see the Glee Club dissolve so that all the extracurricular money is no longer an issue and goes directly to the cheerleading squad, and none to the Glee Club. Okay, now that I have that exposition out of the way, let's move on. We cut to the Glee Club rehearsal room. Will comes in and says that the musical lesson this week will be less of a lesson and more of an actual musical. Rachel hopes that it will be a feat, and there's a mixed reaction when Will announces it will be Rocky Horror. Rachel brings up the point of the material possibly being controversial, and another student named Kurt brings up the fact that a school in Texas couldn't perform Rent because there's an outrage and the show got shut down. Will asks, isn't that what art is all about? Pushing boundaries? Doing things people said you couldn't for the sake of self-expression? Well, yes, but that's not the reason you're doing this. You're doing Rocky Horror in hopes that you can steal a woman away from her boyfriend. You piece of shit. Will goes on to say that he's cut some of the more risque elements of the show, way to hamper the integrity of your piece, and is sending home parental permission slips with all the kids. He further goes on to say that they'll be charging admission, and the money will be used to pay for transportation to their trip to Nationals. Apparently, that's all the Glee Club needed to hear to be on board. Will says it's time to talk casting. Rachel volunteers herself and Finn to play Brad and Janet. A boy named Artie says he guesses he'll be playing Dr. Scott, or, as he puts it, the guy in the wheelchair, since he's a paraplegic. Will suggests Kurt play Frankenfurter, but Kurt wants no part of the role. Having to deal with enough teasing from the student body as it is, the idea of dressing in drag and putting on lipstick didn't appeal to him. A guy named Mike Chang steps up and says he'll take the role, feeling more confident in his voice after the duets project they participated in. There aren't many other female roles in the show, so Will says that the other girls will be doubling as Magenta and Columbia, and he tells a guy named Sam that he'll be playing the creature. Sam asks if he means the creature from the Black Lagoon, and one of the cheerleaders explains to him the creature is actually Rocky, a Frankenstein's creature-esque monster, but a lot better looking. Cut to Rachel and Finn on stage with Rachel going through the script. Finn doesn't understand what's going on, and not in a cool Inception kind of way, as he puts it. Rachel has reached the part where Brad and Janet are stripped to their underwear by Frank's minions, and Finn is not okay with the idea of the whole school seeing him in his tidy whiteies. Rachel tells him to think of it like being at the pool, and Finn says he wears a swim shirt while at the pool, telling others that he does it because he burns easily, but the truth is it's because he's really insecure about his appearance. Rachel tells him not to worry and to trust her that everything will be fine, but Finn doesn't seem so sure. We cut to a news report, and it's time for an editorial segment called Sue's Corner, hosted by, naturally, Sue Sylvester. Sue begins by saying, Halloween is fast approaching, a time when little boys are encouraged to dress like little girls, and little girls are encouraged to dress like whores and browbeat hardworking Americans into giving them free food. Can I just say I would gladly watch a show that was nothing but Jane Lynch in character as Sue Sylvester for an hour every week? She goes on to say they've lost the true meaning of Halloween, which is fear. Without fear, children won't know how to behave and will try things like Frenching grizzly bears and living in Florida. She encourages parents to skip trick-or-treating this year and tell their children that their father is a cannibalistic zombie that's intent on making them the next meal. You know, if all local news was like this, maybe I actually watched it every now and then. Sue walks through the news studio and passes an asshole, an ex-delivery boy. I mean, Barry Bostwick and Meatloaf guest starring as two news station managers. They approach Sue in her office at the school the next day, saying that they loved her segment on the news the previous night and believe that good news provides information, but that great news provides fear. After listening to them cite some examples about how fear-based news stories could work, Sue asks how can she help them. They tell her that they learned that someone at the school is trying to obtain the stage rights to do Rocky Horror as the musical that year, and Sue noticeably tenses up. Sue says that when she was younger, she took her sister to see that movie and that the audience was so enraged that a handicapped person was among them, the audience threw toast at them. Barry Bostwick's character is about to speak up, presumably to tell her that that wasn't a personal attack at them, but just part of the audience participation experience, but Meatloaf's character waves him off. Sue asks if they want her to shut down the show, but Barry Jeffries, Meatloaf's character, suggests that she do an expose, proving that the secular progressive agenda has finally arrived in the Lima, Ohio school district. I didn't think Ohio was a Bible Belt state. Tim Stanwyck, Bostwick's character, says it has local Emmy written all over it, and they ask Sue if they have a deal. Sue thinks about it, and we get an act break. Back from break, I'm in the rehearsal room once again. Will wants to run Damn It, Janet. Two of the cheerleaders say that they can't wait to see Finn take his shirt off. Finn and Rachel object to this, and one of the other girls speaks up saying that guys can objectify them on a daily basis, so how is that alright, but them talking about Finn isn't? Eventually, Will gets control of the room, and they run the scene. It's not a terrible rendition of the song. That's really all I can say about it. Midway through the scene, Sue appears at the door and indicates to Will that she needs to speak to him outside. Will follows Sue into the hallway, and Sue asks why Will thought he could get away with doing the show without telling her. Will says he didn't think he could do that, he just wanted to try and run out the clock until it was too late for her to try and stop them. Sue says she doesn't want to stop them. She appreciates how Rocky Horror pushes boundaries and just wants to be involved. Will says fine and offers her the part of the criminologist slash narrator. Jane Lynch as Sue Sylvester as the narrator. Holy crap, I would buy tickets to that production. Sue accepts the role, saying that she needs to do some rewrites, saying that she gets final script approval, and advises Will not to fight it. A school bell rings, and we cut to the weight room. Finn is still having anxiety about his appearance and wonders when the guy's body image became such a huge deal. Artie says he blames the internet, particularly when women begin to discover porn on it. Finn asks Sam if it ever gets exhausted in keeping track of what he eats, and Sam says that if he misses a workout or eats a hot dog, he hates himself for a while. But he knows he has to look the part in order to be successful and tells Finn to do some squats with him. Artie remains there in his wheelchair doing some arm curls with dumbbells. Cut to Emma's office where Will asks her to be costume designer since she knows Rocky Horror better than anyone else does. Emma giddily accepts. But then, tragedy strikes. Mike knocks on the office door and seeing Will there tells him that his parents aren't cool with him, quote, dressing like a tranny, so he has to pull out of the show. Oh no, feel the lack of dramatic tension. We cut to Sue's office where we see Becky, a student and member of the cheer squad with Down syndrome, is dressed in an outfit identical to Sue's. A red sweatsuit. It is amazing and horrifyingly accurate. Sue compliments her on a great Halloween costume and says there's just one thing missing. Sue hands Becky a megaphone and tells her to go yell at some fans. As Becky leaves, Sue tells Becky that she will need to add a local Emmy Award to her costume for next year. Will enters Sue's office and tells her that Mike has dropped out of the show and they can't find a replacement to play Frankenfurter, so the musical's cancelled. Wow. Way to fight for your project there, Will. Sue is visibly distraught as this would mean no local Emmy for her, and we cut to an act break. Back from break, and we see Emma and Carl in her office. Carl is showing Emma his Halloween costume, which consists of a bustier and black panties. I guess this means he's going as Frank for Halloween. Sue walks in and confronts them, thinking they're having some weird sex fetish thing happening, but Emma explains the situation. Emma mentions that she and Carl are both big Rocky Horror fans, and that Carl knows every song in the movie by heart, and says he has a great singing voice. For a dentist, Carl adds. Sue says that she's a big proponent of arts in schools, but that they are failing in that respect here at William McKinley High. And when the kids don't have arts, they turn to drugs. And then drugs lead to tooth loss, and that 70% of all teeth in the school are wooden. Emma seems surprised by this fact, you know, considering it's bullshit. But she doesn't press on the point at all. Carl asks if there's anything he can do to help. We cut to a very confused-looking Will. Carl says he understands that there was a hole they need to fill, and so he's there to fill it. Will says that's all well and good, but he can't just give Carl a role. Carl has to audition first. Carl says okay and has the band cue up Hot Patootie. This is the high point of the episode, musically speaking. It's a great rendition of this song. John Stamos absolutely nails it. I would definitely go see a production of Rocky Horror Show with John Stamos playing Eddie. And holy crap, they actually finished an entire song from the show. It's a miracle. Everyone cheers and applauds when Carl finishes, but Sue says this won't do because they needed Frank, not an Eddie. And besides, she cut Eddie in her rewrites. Eddie's actually quite a sizable plot point to this show, Sue. That doesn't work. Will agrees with Sue, saying that if Carl wants to join, he has to audition with a Frank song. Carl says that while he has no issue wearing the Frank bustier in his privacy of his own home, he's a little freaky like that, he just thinks it seems inappropriate in the context of a high school musical and says that if he played Eddie, he wouldn't have to grind up against any of the students and be showing his support for the arts. Will takes exception to these remarks and asks Carl if he's trying to tell him how to direct the show. Before any more bickering can happen, a girl named Mercedes speaks up and says she'd like to play Frank. Mercedes is an African-American girl with a larger build, not the prototypical image one gets when you think of the Frankenfurter character. But Mercedes says she read the script and saw the line, "Don't dream it, be it," and that she'd always dreamed of playing a lead role and thinks she would be up for the challenge. I commend the writers of this episode for going with what some would consider an unconventional approach for the Frank character. But honestly, in the almost 15 years I've been involved with the Rocky Horror performance community in some form or fashion, whether as an audience member or a performer, I've seen Frank played by so many different people. Men, women, white people, black people, skinny people, fat people, short people, tall people. Sure, Tim Curry's performance is the one that instantly flashes it into your mind when you think of Frankenfurter, but everyone I've seen brings something unique to themselves to that role, and that's what's most important. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on an editorial tangent there. Back to bashing this episode. Anyway, Sue says it looks like Will killed two birds with one stone, so now they have a Frank and an Eddie. Everyone cheers, but Will doesn't seem too thrilled as we get an act break. Back from break, and we're at the first dress rehearsal. Exactly why they're starting with Sweet Transvestite, which is about a good 20 minutes into the show, I have no idea, but then again, I didn't write this. Finn walks on stage in full Brad costume, saying that he knows he's supposed to be in his underwear for the scene, but wonders if he could just save that for opening night. Will gives him the okay and says they'll make a note about it later. Okay. First of all, this is wholly incorrect. Brad and Janet are stripped down to their underwear after Sweet Transvestite. And secondly, it's a dress rehearsal. You proceed the way you would for an actual shoot with all cues, changes, and everything else, unless there is some kind of massive technical issue that would prevent this. Sam then steps out on stage in his Rocky costume, asking if he could wear some gold board shorts instead of the golden suit because he's afraid of possibly accidentally exposing himself. Will says they'll deal with these issues later and tells them to go on with the scene. So they go into Sweet Transvestite. I have issues with this interpretation of the song. Most importantly, and pretty much mainly, the changed lyrics. The original and correct lyrics are, "I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania." The lyrics used in this episode are, "I'm just a sweet transvestite from sensational Transylvania." It was at this point when I first watched the episode that they completely lost me and I wrote it off as lousy. And there's still 20 minutes to go. Great. Anyway, the number continues on and the rage in me continues to manifest when I hear the bastardized lyrics. The song ends and Carl, as Eddie, comes bursting through the wall of the freezer on the motorcycle. Will says Carl's entrance was way too early. He's supposed to bust through the wall in the dinner scene. Again, incorrect. There is no dinner scene in the stage version of the Rocky Horror Show. That scene is only in the film. Furthermore, Eddie's entrance is after Rocky comes to life, which is still two musical numbers away. Finally, and here be spoilers, so if you haven't ever seen the movie The Rocky Horror Picture Show, skip ahead about a minute or two in the podcast. Eddie is the dinner in the dinner scene in the movie. Unless he was going to do some stupid bullshit flashback about Eddie appearing during this dinner scene he added, this wouldn't make any sense at all. In fact, you know what? Whatever. I'm done arguing. Back to the show. Carl explains that he felt an impulse telling him to enter now, and Emma's impressed by his impulses. Will, obviously, is not. Cut to Will moving tables around in the classroom. Emma walks in saying that she got Will's note that he wanted to see her, and Will says that there's a problem with the show, and that problem is Carl. Emma says that she thought he was doing fine, and Will agrees, but says that what Carl said about some of the roles being too adult for the students to play have haunted him. Emma agrees and brings up Sam. Will says that he spoke to Sam about it, and somewhat and Sam somewhat begrudgingly admitted that he was a little embarrassed playing Rocky and asked who will do the role now. Apparently, Will thought that he himself would be the best candidate. Emma asks if that's such a good idea since he's a teacher, and Will says he figures it would lend some credibility to the show. Yeah. Until the parents have issue with you getting quite intimately close with your student playing Janet during Toucha Toucha Touch Me. Then, there will be issues. And what a coincidence! That's the number that he really needs to work on before tomorrow's rehearsal, and he asks Emma if she could rehearse with him as Janet since she knows the show so well. Emma's reluctant, of course, but eventually agrees. Two of the cheerleaders pop up outside the classroom window. I guess this makes them the Magenta and Columbia representative of this song. Will turns on the instrumental track and they rehearse the song. More lyric changes abound here. The correct lyrics are, I thought there's no use getting into heavy petting. It only leads to trouble and seat wetting. The change lyrics, I thought there's no use getting into heavy sweating. It only leads to trouble and bad fretting. More correct lyrics, then if anything grows while you pose. The change lyrics, then if anything shows while you pose, I'll oil you up and drop you down. What the hell does that even mean? And one final time. The correct lyrics are, you need a friendly hand and I need action. The change lyrics, I need a friendly man and I need action. Is it any wonder that Richard O'Brien expressed great disappointment at how this episode handled the themes of his original work? Anyway, this number is awkward as hell. When it ends, Will and Emma are panting from exertion, and she runs out of the classroom while Will adjusts his tie over his shirtless body, since his shirt had been ripped off by Emma during the rehearsal. And then, mercifully, we get an act break. Back from break, and we're in the weight room once again. Will is trying to finish a set with some free weights and is struggling a little. Sam enters and helps him get the bar back on the rack. Sam tells Finn he's not playing Rock anymore and that he feels bad making demands about his costume, but he just felt so fat wearing it. Finn worries that he'll be replaced next since he made such a fuss about being in his underwear, but Sam tells him not to worry because the Brad part isn't about being hot. It's about being comfortable with yourself and how you look, no matter how douchey you might be, because Brad's totally uncool with being... Brad's totally cool with being uncool. Finn says he doesn't think he's at that point yet, and Sam tells him not to worry, just be himself and let the sexy flow through. Finn says to Sam, you're right, I don't have to hide behind my muscles like you do. Sam thanks him, unsure if he's being insulted or not. Finn gets up to leave and Sam asks where he's going. Finn replies to show everyone how hot and sexy I am, and he leaves. We cut to rehearsal where they work on the scene right before Eddie's Teddy, which includes the Janet, Dr. Scott, Janet, Brad, Rocky sequence. Finn is not there, so Phil is reading both his lines and playing Rocky. Sue interjects every so often as the scene plays out, and Will asks her to stop inserting her opinions as they rehearse. Sue says they aren't her opinions, they're the rewrites she made for herself. Principal Figgins enters and says he needs to speak to Will in his office. We cut to the principal's office, and Finn is being suspended. Will asks for what, and Finn says, I sort of walk through the hall in my Rocky Horror costume. And we get a flashback sequence of Finn walking down the hall in sneakers, his Brad glasses, and a pair of white boxers. Cut to the principal's office, and Will asks Finn why he did that. Finn explained he was just trying to find a comfort zone with his costume. Principal Figgins recommends a one-month suspension along with summer school to make up for any missed class time. Will asks if he can speak to the principal alone, and Finn leaves the office. Will says that Finn was just coming to rehearsal in costume and that it wasn't a crime to what he did. Figgins replies that 9 kids already signed up for after-school therapy and he had to call in a grief counselor. Will brings up that when the cheer squad won nationals last year, Santana pantsed Brittany and she was wearing a lot less than her underwear and neither of them were suspended. Figgins said it happened in the middle of a celebration, but Will still isn't satisfied. Principal Figgins says he'll let Finn off with a warning. Figgins goes on to say that he's still unclear about Will's reasons for doing Rocky Horror, considering what he's risking if things go too far. Will asks Figgins what he means, and the principal says that considering that Will is putting himself in the Glee Club on the line, and that if Will gets any heat for this production, Figgins won't be able to protect him. Whatever reason you have, I hope it's worth it. Will considers this for a second and then leaves the office. Cut to the dress rehearsal where Carl runs and interrupts things. This is where we came in at the beginning. Carl claims Will is trying to steal Emma from him, and Will plays dumb, saying he has no idea what Carl is talking about. Carl says that he and Emma have a full disclosure policy and they are both fully open and honest with one another, which allows them to experience intimacy, something he doubts Will knows anything about. Will says that he was just trying to rehearse a scene with Emma, but Carl is having none of it, and starts to walk off the stage. Will asks Carl if he's quitting the show, and Carl says no, because he believes in the arts, not using them to pick up someone else's chick. The rest of the cast all attempt to avoid eye contact with Will, because now they realize his douchebaggery has been revealed. Cut to Will in his office, highlighting lines in the script. Becky comes in, trick-or-treating. Will forgot that the Take Back the Nightclub was going door-to-door that evening and forgot to buy any candy because he's been so busy working on Rocky Horror. Becky says that Rocky Horror is an abomination, and Will asks what she said. Becky replies that it's what Coach Sue had been saying on her tape and brings Will to Sue's office to show him. Will watches the tape of Sue's segment where she says that she's been working with the production in order to expose what your tax dollars are funding in our public schools in the name of art. Will is not happy about being deceived. Becky tells Will to give her some chocolate or she will cut him. Charming. And we get our final act break for the episode. I am greatly relieved. Back from break, Will confronts Sue about the tape. She says she was going to air it on opening night, which is why she pre-taped it instead of doing it live in the news studio. Sue asks Will if there were any points in her segment where she was wrong, and he agrees that she put forth a good argument. Sue says that there are lines that are crossed, and she feels that Will went ahead and crossed them, but did so without the well-being of his kids in mind. Will considers everything and tells Sue that she's right, and he's going to cancel the show. Sue is shocked. Sue tries to convince him to wait until opening night because the kids work so hard, and Will walks off. She shouts after him, "I need that local Emmy, Will!" Uh-huh. And what was that you were saying about not doing things for the good of the kids? Hypocrisy is funny sometimes. Cut to the empty theater where Will and Emma are sitting on the stage. Emma asks Will if he's sure that he wants to cancel the whole thing, and Will says he should never have tried in the first place. Will tells Emma the only reason he wanted to do the show was to get close with her. Instead of doing the smart and rational thing by walking away, Emma stays and listens to him babble on. Will apologizes, and he says that he sees that being with Carl is making Emma better, and that he'll never abuse their feelings for one another again, and that if he really loves her, he'll back off because being with Carl, for now at least, is the best thing for her. What an absolutely terrible way to word that. Just once, I'd love to see a character on TV that goes, "I have strong feelings for this person, but they're in a committed relationship, and I have no right to encroach on that. I will move on with my life." You know, someone who behaves like a rational human being. But that doesn't bring in the ratings, now does it? Moving on. Emma asks Will what he's going to tell the kids. Cut to Will in the rehearsal room apologizing for everything he put the kids through, especially to Finn and Sam. Finn says that it's fine and he's sure the teasing will have stopped by the time his 10-year reunion rolls around. And Sam says that he was actually picked to represent June in the Mr. McKinley High School calendar. Will goes on to say that Rocky Horror isn't about pushing boundaries or making an audience accept a certain rebellious point of view. Those were his reasons in doing it, and they aren't worth risking what they have. He goes on to say that when the midnight showings of Rocky Horror started, they weren't for envelope pushers, but for outcasts who were looking for someplace to fit in and belong, and asks if that sounds familiar. With that context in mind, Rocky Horror is the perfect show for the club. Will says that they're still going to perform the show, but it won't be for an audience. They're doing it for themselves. And the episode ends not with a bang, but with a whimper, as we get one of the weakest renditions of the Time Warp that I've ever heard. The only worst version out there might be the Groovy Ghoulies cover of the song on the tribute album, The Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show. At least I got the Time Warp dance choreography correct for the most part, which is more than I can say for some other shows that pay tribute to this scene. I'm looking at you, Drew Carey Show. The song ends and Will applauds, giving them a standing ovation. Very fitting that he's the only one doing any clapping. And roll credits. So that was the Rocky Horror Glue Show. Do I still loathe it as much now as I did then when I first saw it? Oh yeah, I still think it's quite terrible. And appropriately, the critics had a very mixed reaction to it as well, and I side with the ones who gave it negative reactions. Now, if you want to see a great production of the Rocky Horror Show, October 29th, 30th, and 31st at Gettysburg Community Theater in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that's where you can see the production I'm involved in. Go to gettysburgcommunitytheater.org for more details and to get tickets. And get tickets early because it's very likely this show will sell out. Alright, so that'll do it for this episode of This Is Gonna Suck. Thanks for listening. Questions, comments, feedback, and so forth can be sent to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. That's chrismcg1983@gmail.com. Please consider visiting my Patreon page and becoming a patron of the podcast. That can be found at patreon.com/dramaguycjm. patreon.com/dramaguycjm. For becoming a patron, I will always thank you personally by name at the end of every podcast episode. We've reached that point once again, so thank you to Rich Delecta and Eddie Landis. Thank you for being my patrons. Okay, that will do it for now. Not sure what podcast will be coming up next. I'm thinking maybe I might do a few Everything is Fantastics so as to try and wash the aftertaste of the Rocky Horror Glee Show out of my mouth, metaphorically speaking, of course. But we'll have to see how things go, depending on what my free time looks like, what with work and rehearsal and so forth. But yeah, keep an eye on my Facebook page for the podcast, which is Thoughts Out of Context Productions. Go ahead and give that page a like or a follow or whatever it says on Facebook to be in contact with all the latest developments with my podcasts. So thank you again for listening. This is Chris McGinnis saying, until next time, and crawling on the planet's face, some insects called the human race. Lost in time, and lost in space, and meaning.